you find injustices in the policies of corporations and governments, yet feel powerless to do anything about them? Join us today for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton and Leili Nahrouz. Our program will be empowering, not only uncovering conspiracies, but actually offering solutions to these plots. There will be no holy cows, and no subject is off the table. Now, here is Dr. Robert Newton and co-host Leili Nahrouz.
Let's get ready to crumble! Kind of goofy. However, definitely appropriate today, especially in light of all the stuff that Sarah and I have been finding about the Boston Massacre. You want to dump some of the stuff you found out, Sarah?
Yeah, sure, yeah. How are you, by the way? I want to see how you're doing.
Good as always, as are you.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show. It's a lot of interesting developments out there. People coming out with the videos and information indicating that it was all acted out, like an elaborate show.
Movie production.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, movie production. This is what people are coming across right now and sharing all over the internet. I found quite a few people very offended by this too, that, wondering why anybody or any buddies would go out of their way to create such elaborate movie production like this. And many of us still don't understand that. There's the fear factor here that's being created to keep us in fear. So it's very upsetting, but it's out there, it's happening, and it's been happening on not just the Boston, but you consider 9/11 and the Sandy the shooting massacre there, and the Batman movie shooting massacre too. I mean, it's all some sort of movie production. Actual people do get harmed, and it's very frightening and fearful, and it is meant to make people be in fear and stay in fear.
Yeah, I agree. It just reminds me of all the other things that you didn't mention, including Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver, the Branch Davidians who supposedly self-immolated themselves. When I've seen pictures, I've seen requisition orders from flame-throwing tanks from Fort Sill, Oklahoma. The Murrah building supposedly that was collapsed by an ammonium nitrate bomb. And, it wasn't even inside the building to wit. And anyway, couldn't have knocked it over. And anyway, the building came down pancake, which indicates controlled demolition. So, and also the fact that there were two seismic events within 4 seconds of each other regarding that event. So it looks like I saw some stuff this morning that John Rappaport, who has been a reporter for 30 years and actually knows how to do investigative journalism and actually knows how to ask questions, was talking about that there were windows around some of the buildings that were blown from the inside out. So how could that have been done by a pressure cooker bomb that was supposedly on the outside? And he also pointed out they found no kinds of nails or ball bearing type shrapnel that were claimed to have been blown out. And then they're also saying, they're wondering if really as many people were injured as what they said. One part of the government was saying there was actually a practice bombing drill taking place when that exact same happened. And then another faction of the government say, no, this didn't happen. So there's some really good stuff on my Facebook page. You might have to dig down into it, but I don't remember the man's name, but he's an older man like myself, so he might have had enough time to learn a little bit over the years. Ha, ha, ha. And and
you'll find that a lot of these staged movie productions, they use the same actors.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. It's the same actors, and many of us are getting very wise to this. We recognize the faces, even with the different haircuts and hair colors and makeup and whatever else, we still recognize the faces. You know, it's very easy to do face recognition nowadays, and they think we're stupid and want to, you know, continue their movie productions and keep us in, you know, that state of fear and stuff. But
well, the whole thing is distraction. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was, you know, like very interesting, just right at what you talk about facial recognition is exactly mm-hmm. true, because right after the show, I got my hands on some video that showed two ex-Navy SEALs that sure looked like they were wearing craft operations mm-hmm. uniforms. Mm-hmm. And one of the people supposedly and they've been identified as ex-Navy SEALs, and so if they're working for craft, that makes them mercenaries, and if they're mercenaries, and who hired those mercenaries? Mm-hmm. Certainly you and I didn't. Certainly the American people at large didn't. I don't even think the Congress did. So
we have all these innocent people, real people getting harmed.
Yeah, well, that's kind of it's kind of diabolical. It kind of makes you realize that the government's decided to declare war on its own people, and they don't really give a crap about collateral damages and things like that, whether there's, you know, women or children. You know, the same thing happens over in Palestine every day, too. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting how the movie gets moved around, but the plot pretty much goes the same way. Mm-hmm. Different people are. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, all over the world, you know, but it's just big movie productions. War, to me personally, is a big movie production. Anytime that we're heading out to war to go fight with some other country, you know there's a big movie production behind that. Nobody wants to go to war. Nobody wants to go to war.
Well, yeah. let me bring – I agree. Well, I've been in war, and I can tell you it's not the nice picnic that they like to make it – seen in the movies. It's pretty scary. It's pretty terrifying. Mm-hmm. Well, this brings me up to some other things that I've been finding out. Apparently, and this is about the distraction thing, and also that fertilizer plant there in Texas went off a few days afterwards too. Mm-hmm. It was a huge explosion, and I'm mm-hmm. you know.
And they're saying that was a missile attack.
Well, give me some more on that. I didn't pick that one up, but I wouldn't be surprised because
I had one person share a video of the actual missile falling from the sky and hitting the ground and exploding. That was pretty good stuff right there, and it's on my Facebook too.
Surprise me since they threw a cruise missile into the Pentagon too. So different day, same scenario. And also, the first thing that came to my mind when that fertilizer plant, when I heard about that, right away I knew, you know, mm-hmm. I knew there's something fishy going on here. That fertilizer plant just doesn't blow up like this. And, you know, when was the last time it happened? I don't really remember. And also, it would be a good way to raise the price of fertilizer if you're going to be working with options and things in the commodities market. I'm not sure if there's one for fertilizer. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure there is someplace. So that brings me up to the distraction part, because apparently in the international court, mm-hmm. indictments have been issued against Barack Obama, Joe Biden, mm-hmm. George Bush Jr., I call him. Mm-hmm. That's not his complete name. Dick Cheney, Eric Holder, mm-hmm. and one or two other people for war crimes.
Yes, yes.
And also... Yes. One other thing here that I talked about 2 weeks ago that I should have talked about last week, about the upcoming banking holiday that is supposed to be imposed tomorrow on the 25th. I said back then 2 weeks ago, I did not know if that would happen for sure, but I knew that the information was valid and that it might not happen because, you know, once people get tipped off, then it doesn't have so much of an effect, but it just really seems like there's a stunning amount of ignorance, unquestioning acceptance of people about the events that have gone on with this thing. It's really stunning me just with the inconsistencies that you and I have found.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us like to be in a state of denial, and no one wants to believe that, you know, that their government would in any way, shape, or form harm them. You know, the government's here to protect us. Well, I mean, seriously, this is, you know, everybody feels, and there are really some wonderful people out there who are doing wonderful things, but then, you know, behind all that, who's calling the actions? Are they really considering how we really feel? Because I don't want my taxpayers' money to be going towards bombing other countries, or bombing even the country I live in, and harming innocent people. You know, I why am I paying taxes for that? I don't particularly, I'm not interested in war or harming people. So why am I paying taxes for this?
Well, the bigger question would be, why are we paying taxes at all? And I think you and I might be going into that very soon. After, you know, the fact that you are working about 4 months out of the year to pay taxes that go to the Internal Revenue Service, which is a collection agency for the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not a federal bank. You know, this is starting, a few people are starting to wake up about this. Every once in a while, someone actually realizes this when I point it out to them, why, you know, that is going, and then why you have to go into court and go through a song and put your freedom on the line to try to extricate yourself from a situation like this. It's now, I've had a lot of personal experiences in these kind of things, and I've had friends that I've had even worse and more close encounters with these kind of things that I guess I'm going to have to bring on the show very soon.
And yes, yes, definitely. The public needs to be informed about all this information.
Also, I wanted to bring something up that I'm going to be involved with the Alchemy Conference in June 15th and 16th. I'm going to be speaking there as a speaker, and we're going to be promoting that event because it's a lot of good people. Saeed David Foreman is the organizer of that. He knows a lot of stuff. And also, I also wanted to announce that, as I told you yesterday, you were the first of all to learn that we're going to have Gamble. I'm trying to think of her first name right now. Kimberly Gamble, the co-founder of the Thrive Organization, which is something that Sarah and I are both passionate about, is an equal distribution of the wealth through society, which we're going to be talking about very shortly today. Mm-hmm. So this is set up tentatively for May 15th, and I'm very grateful to Dan Dieter to making this happen for me, because he had the contacts, which I did not. So,
wow, that's awesome. Yes, it's awesome news. So,
okay, so I don't know if we could get some. I don't seem to have my message bar up again. It was up when I started the show. I don't know why it's not up right now. That. If we have anyone that wants to call into the show and add some things, some things that they thought that we might have met, I would be more than open to having them do that. We're not going to have time for callers. Here, now I'm up. Okay, I see it now. I finally figured it out. So we wanted to one of the discussions today – and by the way, I apologize for saying that we would give – an in-depth coverage on the Boston massacre. A few days ago, I thought I knew everything about it. The more I learned, the more I realized that there are lots of pieces still out there. But I think that we've given a pretty good expose of what's going on. It goes back to my rule, is whatever the government tells you or whatever the mainline media tells you, you can go about to the diametric opposite at about 180 degrees, and you'll find the truth close there too. And also, I find it interesting in this controlled media that we have, listen to this percentage, 96% of American media is controlled by Israel or Israel interests or companies, holding companies or something like that. So, you know, I don't call that a free press.
Well, there's, of course, alternate media, and, you know, the objective is, you know, people need to go look outside of the corporate media, because the corporate media isn't necessarily always giving the full story. You know, if you want to get a different view, a more fuller perspective, you want to, you know, go out there and find the alternate news channels. And there are many out there all over YouTube and certain sites. I mean, even like the one we're on right now, Alternate News, you know, we're trying to provide something that you're probably not going to hear on the corporate media.
Yeah, not only you're probably not going to hear, you're definitely not going to hear. So, well, you know, it's just true. There's this newspaper, the American Free Press, that has been exposing these things for decades and have suffered the brunt of attacks from Zionists in Israel. Tried to put him out of business multiple times because he had the audacity to point out the inconsistencies between what they say over there in Israel and what they actually do. And I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm anti-Zionist, but I'm not anti-Jewish. And anyone that knows it knows that I rely heavily on the 72 names of God from Exodus 14 verses 19 to 21 in the Torah. So I think that would be pretty good indication that I'm not, but I'm sure that will be bandied about. But nevertheless, you know, consider the source, consider where the information is coming from. And also, I know Sarah and I would both say to you, you know, whatever we tell you, don't just accept it as just like gospel truth. Go out there and do your research. Google some things. Go to YouTube, like Sarah said, and probably get to YouTube damn quick, because a lot of the things about this Boston Massacre thing have been taken down. Mm-hmm. So, and I've had posts that I've tried to share that Facebook wouldn't let me share. They said, oh, this is no longer available or something like that. So that means, oh, yeah, we've censored it. So what we were going to talk about with Orion today, and I guess he's having trouble getting connected into the station. Waiting to the last minute sometimes is not the best policy, I guess. We were going to talk about different forms of currency. And so I know from Sarah has told me multiple times that she just doesn't like anything to do with currency in any way, shape, or form. And I kind of understand that. I remember a passage from the New Testament. I don't remember which book was in, where it talked about Jesus through the money changers from the temple. I think it more had to do not the fact that they had money, but that they were charging usury or high interest rates, kind of like our economy and the whole world works on right now. If you buy a house, you're going to pay four times the principal on that house by the time it's paid off, unless if you do it over 30 years, unless you pay it off at a double payments at an accelerated rate.
Mm-hmm. I'm just coming from a totally different level altogether. This whole system makes zero sense to me. For me, because I don't know, just for many years, for the longest time, all I know is that if the birds aren't paying rent and the fish aren't paying rent, or if, you know, the elephant doesn't have a mortgage and the zebra doesn't, then why do we? Who said that we're supposed to be paying money to live in a home? You know, going back in history, I didn't see any other of our ancient ancestors doing any of this. Paying money to have a roof over their head, to live a life, to eat food, real food too, by the way.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't charge property taxes on a teepee that was getting moved around from place to place. The red man strikes back. The brown man strikes back. The black man strikes back. Okay, so, well, here's the thing that Orion was telling me about. I did a little bit of research, and I wish I'd done more now that he's not with us, but hopefully maybe we can get him in after the break. Is basically there's this kind of computer currency called Bitcom, where you get credits for the amount of work you do, and it's like stored on a computer. Is that correct? Is that what you saw?
This is what I'm understanding. Yes, they store, you know, how many like hours you work, for example, and with this amount of, you know, hours that you've worked, you can use it towards consumption, purchasing. So this is what I'm understanding so far. Yes.
Well, myself, I don't trust anything stored in a computer, i.e. how easy it is for people to steal things out of your bank accounts, et cetera, mm-hmm. to steal your data. Mm-hmm. And secondly, as I was doing my due diligence research, I found out in several articles, not only in the Bitcom, but I think in another one, I'm trying to think of the mm-hmm. ITCOM or something. I'm not sure. But they were talking about that there were wild fluctuations in the value between up to 200%, so up and down. So that indicates a threefold swing, and that's something that I'm not really all that interested in myself. If I have something of value, I want it to retain its value. I don't want to have to go on to the Forex currency exchange where I actually tried to make money one time and have to make future trades to protect my wealth into the future. So,
I recall a few years back and noticing all those commercials on TV where they're saying that we want to buy your gold for cash, and you know you'll still see it on TV now.
Are they doing it big time still?
Yeah, they're still doing it. Yes, you'll see it. But you know, it's just something that was coming up recently within the past few years, where it's, you know, all over the TV saying we want to buy your gold for cash. And then I kept wondering why this was happening. And next thing you know, sometime around 2010, I'm asking that same question, and I could feel that, you know, this gold currency that's coming up very soon. People were talking about it, and then they hushed up about it. Next thing you know, here we are today, and they're, you know, looking to implement this gold currency. Whether some of us realize it or not, this is where we're heading towards at the moment, looking to implement this gold currency. You see the price of gold coming down, and people are starting to buy gold. And again, to me, currency, just, you know, just a form of control. And gold, I believe, should just go back to the earth, go back to where it came from.
Oh, that's too late. The extraterrestrials, the extraterrestrials from Nibiru that are talked about in Zechariah Sitchin's 10 or 12 mm-hmm. books, and also in Robert Temple's book, The Serious Mystery, they were also digging
mining
in Africa and there. Yeah, mining it there in the Dogon tribe, and apparently they have found mines there that pre-exist historical records that they have, and they go way the hell down into the earth. So they may have been using huge grinding, gutting type machines to extricate things, like something that I posted on my Facebook page a few weeks ago about this big, huge machine that could just grind right into the earth with little effort at all, very deeply, very quickly.
Yet either way, any form of currency system is still a form of control. What you're technically going to see here is that if you were to spread the wealth evenly with everybody, you know, who is to say that it's not going to go back to those who are the biggest hoarders, you know, the ones who feel like they have to have control of the wealth. You know, people start spending, and next thing you know, they're back to having nothing again. And then you have those who've monopolized all the money again, all the currency, all the wealth. You know, this is what I think. That's why I believe currency just has to go all together. Nobody really needs any of this Bitcoin system or gold or money, dollars, you know, paper.
Well, the Bitcom I would definitely like to see gone. And, of course, the fractionalized, vaporized currency that's worth less than toilet paper, a sheet of toilet paper right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to be crude, but literally it's probably true. Mm-hmm. It's not the way to go. The whole world is like, the whole reason you're having all these economic calamities all over the world, not only, you know, in Cyprus, Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, God knows where else, is because they have currencies of no inherent value. They're not backed by anything. You know, when the dollar was actually backed by silver and or gold, it was a reasonably stable commodity, had a stable value to it. And in fact, gold at one time when I was a boy had the official value pegged at $35 an ounce. I remember that very well. The mm-hmm. reason I remember it is because it lasted so long as a unit of measure, a unit of value. Mm-hmm. But I have been recommending for people on the first show, and I think I did it on the second show, I've been recommending to definitely get out of paper money, get out of stocks. And the reason the stocks is not this, that I feel that the stocks themselves are inherently weak. I think a lot of them are somewhat strong, but that the currency that supports their value is in a free fall right now. They're printing. This is the only country. See, this is the problem with the euro. They can't just go to the printing presses and print more money. They have to borrow it from each other if they want to get money from one country to another. If that country doesn't have enough money because that country spent too much money. Okay. Mm-hmm. In this country, they just print more. And the reason we've been able to do that is because we've been the reserve currency. Kissinger set this up with the Saudis and made this dirty deal. In one way, it was not so dirty for us, but it was beneficial to a sense. But in a bit larger sense, it wasn't beneficial. And that deal was, look, we'll buy as much oil from you as you can produce as long as you'll use a dollar as the value of denomination that your oil is sold in. And they go, you know, to them, this is like a winning deal because then the currency was actually worth something, unlike now. So they said, sure. But at the same time, guess what happened? Mm-hmm. We went from being energy independent, which we could still be, and this is just an oil, which is a crude form of energy anyway. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a whole show on that, on alternative energy. I'm going to have my friend Jack Robert Emery on here. He's mm-hmm. even crazier than I am, but crazy in a good way because, you know, he doesn't see the boundaries like myself. We don't like being seeing artificial boundaries created and make up problems where none exist. So mm-hmm. anyway, with the oil, that's exactly what happened. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. we've had six wells capped off in Prudhoe Bay, and they could have been flowing oil through that. We have plenty of oil. The information has actually come out in the last couple of weeks that we have so much oil in those Bakken formations up there in the northern United States mm-hmm. that would be really hard to use it all. Well, and also the myth is that this oil is created by dinosaurs dying. Now, I'm not saying that none of it wasn't, but it's well known now, although you're sure they never talk about it on the news, that oil is created by an abiotic chemical process of sulfur in the ground reacting with humic shales or humic materials. These are decomposed plants, that's what it is. Or the shale would be organic matter being taken into shale, which is easy to do because it's a very soft stone.
Yes, I believe it's break time. I think,
yes, okay, it's time to break. Yeah, I ran over again. All right.
Beta trans, let's go to break. Divine consciousness, as do the techniques revealed in Dr. Newton's classes, wherein miracles routinely occur.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Through Dr. Newton's books and classes described at drrobertnewton.com, the following things can occur in your life. Increased prosperity and abundance, a state of happiness, humor and tranquility, which makes life a joy to live. Increased energy fields downloaded into the body, increasing your overall vigor. Increased creativity, putting no task beyond your ability to complete it. Increased intelligence, knowledge and wisdom, the awakening and or increasing of psychic abilities. Increased sexual intensity, pleasure, energy and bliss. The opening of the heart chakra, allowing you to give and receive love in great quantities, as well as conceiving and manifesting your goals and desires in an accelerated and certain fashion. These things and more can be augmented by using the Scientific Miracle Health product, ASEA. ASEA is a stabilized redux product that completely rejuvenates the body and brain and transports the brain-mind to theta trance and divine consciousness, as do the techniques revealed in Dr. Newton's classes, wherein miracles routinely occur. For more information, visit drrobertnewton.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton and Leila Nahrouz. Contact the program today at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send us an email to theta4ia@yahoo.com. Now, back to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions.
Oops, Dr. Newton had a premature ejaculation. Sorry on that. I came in before the intro right there. Well, anyway, I'm very happy that Ryan Moya has descended from his spaceship into our show today. And Ryan, I met at the NoFest festival that we did back in the ghetto of Los Angeles back in October. And we kind of hit it off. He kind of saw that I wasn't senile yet or and anywhere close to it, and I could see that he had a lot of stuff. So Orion is going to talk to share his info about the Bitcoin currency, and I also wanted him just to throw in a few things about the Boston massacre. Go, boy.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but there has been quite a bit of frenzy in the media recently regarding the virtual currency. It's called Bitcoin, actually. And most of the stories I've seen on it have fallen on the side of crap journalism, you know, like people like Business Week or just very known economic journals are reporting on it, but they clearly don't understand what Bitcoin is because they're trying to understand it from the old paradigm of monetary policy. And I'm not really here to speculate on Bitcoin's market price, but rather talk about its potential as a peer-to-peer system for transferring value. If you know what peer-to-peer network means, that means it's a completely decentralized network. There's no central institution that is creating this money. It's basically being mined out
of... That's a good thing. Decentralization is a good thing. Martha Stewart agrees.
Yes, yes.
And there has been quite a bit of ups and downs. Like they've recently called it the Harlem shakedown of currencies because the price has been jumping up all around, fluctuating because of all this new action going on with it. There is recently an exchange crash where there's a main issue going on right now where there's only one real exchange network based in Japan where people can exchange these bitcoins, which I can explain to you exactly what these things really are, but it gets very technical and very nerdy. That's why it's really more important to understand just the technology behind it of peer-to-peer transferring of our own, taking charge of our own transactions, basically, so we don't have to let a bank, you know, charge us all this interest and the tax to move our money.
Yeah, in other words, fleece us like parasites.
Right, it's really a funny predicament that happened. And we, you know, the technology to revolutionize the way we exchange and we do business, you know, around the world, we have the technology, we just need more distribution and knowledge about that, how to use that technology. So I definitely think Bitcoin will become, you know, they're showing that there's more usage around it, even though the value has gone down. But it's still a very unknown about kind of thing. You know, cryptocurrencies, it's based on a program that it's kind of anarchic in the sense that the program is the regulator, the code that this mysterious guy, he created the program under an alias, something, and it wasn't his real name, but it was reviewed by other analysts, and they said that it was a real genius program. And there's been others following it that are actually working alongside Bitcoin. Just to name a few, are Ripple is developing a new system that might just overtake Bitcoin completely. And so there's going to be a rise of many currencies, cryptocurrencies that, you know, you can translate into any other world currency and exchange them over an online wallet. And you can do this completely anonymously. You know, you don't need to know people's address or bank accounts, but it's just such a fascinating time we live in the age of networks, to see how these disruptive technologies, whether it be, you know, it's not just the economy, right? We're literally using these networks, decentralized networks, to take charge of so many different aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
I have a question. I'm curious. How would you provide an application? Let's say I'm a bread maker and you know, I work so many hours. How would you apply this?
Okay, let me give you the exact quote from Ripple, what they say that their system is going to be set up to do. And it's actually being talked about, like I said, on certain Business Week, you know, journals, and they're saying that it is definitely gonna change the way that people exchange. And the way it does that is through a kind of online IOU system. So let's say someone owes me $10, and let me pull up the exact what they're saying on their website. But you're basically transferring debt from person to person, you know, and it's not debt, though. It's something completely different. Remember, we just have to really redefine what money is, because so
you're
many people have
changing value.
Mm-hmm.
You're passing value around as opposed to debt.
Money, you know, value is just the agreement upon, you know, symbols, basically.
So is it the exchange of, you know, the person's labor then? You know, you put so many hours of labor and
yeah.
You get, like, points, basically?
Well, the way that Bitcoin operates is people run these very, you know, highly advanced computational programs on their computer, and they mine for what are called Bitcoins, and these coins go up and down in value based on usage. So money moves, right? If it doesn't move, then it's not considered money. But there's nothing that gives money any intrinsic value, like even gold. Gold has intrinsic properties, but it does not have an intrinsic value.
No,
so,
you're absolutely correct about that. But you know, they create the feeling that there is a value to it, but all it is just the mineral from the earth.
Right, exactly. So if we stop for a moment and looked critically at their precious paper money, they would realize too that it too has no intrinsic value, nor does gold. And so basically we're looking at a sort of I guess it's just such a unique discussion to get into on how we can utilize these technologies, from, you know, whether it be creating our own money system, like what I imagine is a world of not one world currency, like the, you know, New World Order agenda would have us think at the G20s that they're trying to come up with one currency for us to all use.
It's, yeah, like the Neo Tower of Babel.
Right. Well, what a different scenario could be is that we see multiple, you know, hundreds of different currencies that are all voluntary, meaning there's a certain currency created for each specific trade and service that then the people who want to use that, you know, get involved in.
So you're saying that the value is in the people, not necessarily a piece of paper or a mineral or oil, but the people.
Exactly. The value is in our relations with each other. You know,
yes.
That's
okay.
all
well,
value.
That would make sense then. That would move us away then from, you know, this unusual monopoly on objects, because the real value is with the human and the work that they produce.
Right. Work has a big part in this, because what we're seeing is robots stealing our jobs now. Foxconn, the world's largest manufacturer of electronic components. They make pretty much anything. The multinational corporation worth $100 billion, and they employ 1.2 million people. They are about to deploy an army of 1 million robots, and they say it's to cut rising labor expenses and improve efficiency. Now,
yeah, rising labor expenses at $10 a day in China. Wow, that must be a real ball buster.
Hey, you know, at least the children will be able to go home now and spend time with children.
I agree.
If they can get some robots to do the work instead of the children, I'm in.
Right, right. Well, we can actually use it to our advantage. It's actually a great thing. What I wanted to say is that, you know, it's not just Foxconn that is doing this. I mean, imagine what if Walmart follows these trends of all these companies going fully automated.
Well, they
Walmart
will.
Employs 2.1 million people then, are employed by Walmart.
So then nobody would have to work anymore. That doesn't
well, we'd have yeah. to. We'd have to redefine our social contracts with each other.
Hmm.
Yeah, the American Free Press did an article about 10 years ago where they talked about this concept. They said eventually there's not going to be any jobs. They're going to all be mechanized. And they said at that mm-hmm. point, then it might be the province of the government to give each person a stipend so that they can live, because there really won't be jobs per se to make money in the normal way. Go on, Ryan.
Right. Well, I mean, a graph from MIT shows that profits and investments for multinational corporations is going up and up and up, but the employment to population ratio is going down and down and down.
Which is
and
exactly comes, what you have going on with your unemployment statistics in this country, right. too, right here.
And when it comes to automation, we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, look at the Google car. Think of anyone that drives does a driving job. They now have a Google car that is fully automated and, you know, way safer than a human driver, allegedly. And, you know, there's people that
are allegedly
driven around in this thing. It's got all kinds of lasers on it and satellite GPS. But apparently it works. It drives. And,
you know, what I found out, there is this new type of computer. One of the companies that makes it is called Swiss General. It's called a 3D computer. It can literally fabricate anything known to man without a tool or a die. In other words, this takes China out of – that's what they were talking about. This takes China out of the employment equation, because they don't need the laborers anymore. The machine can do everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it was Voltaire who said – work saves us from three great evils, right? Boredom, vice, and need. But is that really the case in today's society? It was Confucius who said, choose a job you love and you will never have to
work
again.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, I don't know what the purpose of life is, but I know that the purpose of life cannot be to work, produce, and consume more and more and more.
Exactly.
All three of us agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's statistics out that 80% of people in the U.S. hate their jobs. So I think we must do away with this absolutely spacious notion that everyone has to earn a living.
Exactly.
It's a fact today that 1 in 10,000 people can create the technological breakthrough capable of supporting the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of
–
we're in a worse
that again. That's really important. Repeat that statement. That's
1 in 10,000 can create the technological breakthrough capable of supporting the rest.
And actually, that's happening right now. You're right. What
and
you're
the
saying
youth,
is
the
more
youth
than
are absolutely, the youth today are absolutely aware of this and right in recognizing this nonsense of earning a living. And so we keep inventing new jobs because of this false idea that everyone has to be employed at some kind of
exactly.
drudgery.
Exactly. Yes, I'm seeing this myself too. Mm-hmm. This is true.
And the true business of people should be to go back to school and think about whatever they were thinking about before somebody came along and told them they had to earn a living.
That was to be in a natural state. I mean, no one said that we came to Earth to work. We're here to come to explore and learn who we are. Not be a slave to some system and live in an illusion and in lies.
Well, actually, Sarah, there are some people have said that that's our mission. That's our Illuminati New World Order and other organizations, Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, that's their whole thing is to keep us enslaved.
No, I didn't come here to be a slave. I'm sorry.
That's a paradox in itself. I mean, the Bible even says, why was Adam created? For there is no one to help till the land.
Yep.
I mean, this obviously goes into our origins and where our physical, you know, our Homo sapien vehicle physically came from, but then we also have our
Hold on. One can love the land and one can till the land because this is what they want to do. This is their love. It's not because someone's pushing them and saying that if you don't do it, I'm not going to give you money.
We're consenting to the whole thing. They're not enslaving anybody. We're getting exactly what we're asking for.
Exactly.
We're utilizing
a service. You're correct. We are consenting because we're not fully aware what's going on. And if it's not for people like me or you or Robert saying that, hey, you don't have to do this, we'd continue going down this path thinking that this is perfectly normal. No, you have choices. This is free will. Here's your chance to choose what it is that you want to do. If someone told you right now you don't have to do what it is that you're doing, are you going to continue doing it or are you going to go ahead and do what it is that you really want to do?
Right, right. And today we're in a work paradox. We work long, hard hours on jobs we hate to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like.
Are you living my life?
Hey, don't go around knocking down the Stepford husband and wife paradigm. This is my time, you see. I'm having to reformat things in my head because I'm so entrenched from that. You know, you got to go out and work and you got to do that. But I've, you know, as I've gotten to a place where I don't have to do that so much, I've started to see, you know, that's kind of an illusion. I mean, it's kind of like a self-trap. And what better to have all these slaves for the corporate machines that the Illuminati wants. But now, as we've said, we're not going to need them. You just said those robots are getting ready to come online to take the place of the workers.
Right, right. And then we ourselves, we're moving towards a more open source government where, there's even governments in the Netherlands, which are working with the coders and the techies of that area. And they're developing programs, applications just on your phone, which completely, is complete transparency of their government systems. The government is actually working with these technologies. And, you know, here we can't expect that to go too far. I mean, the American government made it illegal to make a currency that competes with the dollar. So there is also a chance.
There was one that was gold-backed, and they got permission. It was talked about in the American Free Press, and they even advertised. And they got permission from the government and from the Treasury to do it. And then when it started gaining traction, they told them they had to shut down. So,
right. So there always is that. There is that silly chance that if one of these alternative currencies that are created by us gets big enough and it goes mainstream, that they could just step in and, you know, and shut it down via the internet. And that's our greatest tool right now, is these peer-to-peer network solutions. And there's no short answer to the problem that we need to solve, but we obviously need a plan. And on one side, on the left, right, we have exponential technology, limited resources, and infinite needs, which ultimately is just going to create mass unemployment, you know, resource depletion, starvation, worldwide violence, and civil unrest. But we can utilize our own abilities to do things ourselves, take our banking and all our social contracts into our own hands. It's kind of like gaming almost invented these systems on the computers, but now we're moving towards more ecological uses for these peer-to-peer things.
Gaming. Oh, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's where Sarah is. I just was telling her. I can't resist these stupid remarks. I was telling Sarah the other day on Facebook Messenger how the American Revolution was really not significantly about the tea tax. It was actually about a script that the colonists had created that created great prosperity here. And when the king, George, found out about King George III found out about that, he wasn't very happy, and he shut it down because he realized he wasn't getting his piece of the action. So, you know, this happens.
It's known that there are unseen technologies, you know, technology is exponential. There are unseen rapid transitions of what we define as money that have already happened in the past. Mm-hmm. For instance, when Marco Polo came back with paper money, no one knew it had any value. They never assumed.
They should have stuck with their hunches.
They should have stuck with their Spanish doubloons, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly,
back in the day,
exactly.
It was just whatever you had around.
Oh, man. Let me give you a piece of paper for that gold doubloon.
I'm curious about something, Orion. You mentioned something about limited resources. Where are we coming up with this concept of limited resources exactly? When people say this to me, I get very confused for some reason, because I don't really necessarily see the Earth as having limited resources. I feel that there's an abundance, but just beings controlling the resources.
Right, yes, I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. It's poor distribution, and you're absolutely correct. I think in the terms that I was talking about, it's more referring to the fact that we can't just keep, going to Earth to keep just sucking it of whatever it is that we think we need, peak oil or this or that, because we're not implementing the right sustainable technologies yet.
It's
happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So maybe, since we're talking about technology, we should be either working towards, developing the correct technology to move away from depleting the Earth of anything or controlling the resources of the Earth or anything to that degree. I would believe that would make more sense.
Go ahead.
Well, the whole misprogramming is that there is a shortage of resources on this Earth. There's, like I just pointed out about the oil, it keeps replenishing itself, even though, mm-hmm. That's not my fuel of choice. But just one example. There's all kinds of crops that can be grown, like millet and buckwheat. Mm-hmm. You can grow them on crappy land, and you could feed, even with the existing food technology, we could feed everyone two times over, but for the distribution things that both you and Sarah and both Orion have talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why these technologies like Ripple are making it so much easier to exchange between communities and even across the globe. Like if I wanted to send value to someone in New Zealand right now, I could do it at the click of the button and there would be no delay. There would be the most minute transaction fee. Which banks are they made an estimated $40 billion in 1 year, something off overdraft fees. And something
That's because they don't loan money anymore. They have to. No, they don't. They only make government-backed loans. This is the biggest fraud. A friend of mine, a vice president in GMAC Finance, told me, Robert, there's no use for these banks anymore. He says they don't even – when they make a small business loan, it's SBA. When they make a house loan, it's FHA, Fannie, Freddie. It's exactly what he said. They're making money on the fees. That's how they parasitize us by sucking a little bit of blood on these transactions. Go on, Orion.
Right.
There's 2 minutes left, just so you guys know.
I know.
If people really want to understand what Bitcoin is, then they need to look at it as a media technology and not as a currency.
Okay.
Interesting.
And at the moment, the media coverage on it is largely analogous to when people were first talking about the internet and fumbled around not really knowing what it actually is.
Like me.
Nor its potential to transform society. So I've been actually keeping up on many of these like feeds. Reddit and Miles Kingston has an amazing blog. There's just really, really amazing, rapid, about to launch cryptocurrencies that they're actually even offering to just give you, whether it's Ripples or Bitcoins. Ripple is about to distribute 100 billion Ripples and just give them away so people start using them. So this is completely, entirely different than the Federal Reserve making us get money through loans.
I wanted to get one advertisement in here because we're almost off. The show today is being sponsored by me, www.drrobertnewton.teamasea.com. This ASEA is an amazing product, or I wouldn't be involved with it. It basically not only completely regenerates the whole body, but it's putting brainwave scans show consciousness or brain waves going into theta level, and this is something really significant. So go ahead and finish up. We have a few seconds.
I was wondering about one thing here. How about if we had a huge solar flare and it took down all the technology? I just want to leave that out there.
Right. That's another funny event, and it's all uncertain, right? There's just no way we could say that would or wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But
Only Israel has grounded their installations. It would cost $30 billion to do it here to ground the transformers, but they don't seem to be able to come up with the money to do it.
So. Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, thanks so much for joining in with us, Orion, and also Sarah.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Namaste.
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 Thank you for joining us for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions. Please join Dr. Robert Newton, along with Leila Nuruz, next Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.